This is Kristen Dodge.
It is indeed.
The,
hi, Kristen.
Who
hi, runs
Helen.
The September Gallery here on Warren Street. What do you think of the new digs? Little.
Oh, wow.
But the, much bigger space
here.
Out there, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Glad you like it.
And there's
more
a big
accessible.
Room on the other side of this wall. If
what is
never
that big
been
room?
In. It's That's a big community room.
Community room for the Presbyterian Church. We are in the bowels of the church. Oh, yeah.
That's
I
the
don't,
sound machine.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yes. Would you like a little? Kristen Dodge. Okay, enough. Stop.
I have one that's inappropriate.
You're here because you have a new show opening. I was at the last show. You
yes.
weren't.
What was the last
away.
Show?
Oh, the one
it was
I can't.
A performance
it was
night.
A performance night, and I can't. You know, I couldn't describe to you the performance because.
Oh,
was,
okay.
There was a vibrator. There was.
Okay. A woman, a vibrator, and vibrations.
I see.
Lauren Barnes curated, organized, and produced the whole event. She or they work for me, so I wasn't able to be in town because of family stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not because you were shocked or dismayed by the.
No,
not. I think I'm going to switch. Well, maybe this one's too
I
weird
feel like
to
I
just.
Have to
then
lean
I can't.
In funny.
Can't look at you.
This chair doesn't want to move.
No, we're there. Yeah. We have a few wrinkles to iron out.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Including I've, these. Have you noticed the ones under my eyes? What do I do about that?
That's not part of the deal, I don't think. It's just, you know, makes
old
you
age.
Look distinguished.
Oh, thank you.
Like the little gray on the side.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've been called the silver fox by some guys, actually.
Okay, let's stop. Anyway, Kristen has been working on a show that she's the curator, actually. Mm-hmm. That I think sounds absolutely fascinating, and I'll let her talk about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And
yeah.
it there are 18, I just want to ask this one question. There are 18 artists involved, and they're all women, or appear to be.
Yes, actually, it's true.
and I don't quite understand whether that happened. It couldn't have happened without some direction, but
well, that's part of the goal of your gallery, isn't it?
It's our unspoken mission, which I'm not. It just
she
becomes
can't speak about.
Yeah, it's kind of problematic to speak about it because as soon as you do, people interpret the content of the gallery as being about women,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a gallery that shows all male artists or an exhibition that's a group show that's all men, it's a group show of artists. But if you have a group show of women artists or a group show of black artists, it's a group show of women artists and a group show of black artists. So I'm trying to just provide a little bit more space for underrepresented artists.
You get that, Ellen?
I do.
It's not a you know, a rallying cry.
I guess.
No, it's a quiet mission.
The quiet mission. There you go.
Just to provide more room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the content of the programming. So I choose artists that I think are strong and inspiring and that I want to work with. But, you know, it's actually a really good way to weed things out.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going around New York and looking at shows, it's an easy way to kind of focus my attention doing research.
I had the good fortune last week at an event you also attended, and we didn't need to go what it was, but to sit next to one of the artists in the show.
Which one was that?
Jessie Reeves.
Oh, you sat next to her?
Yes.
Awesome. She's the only one I don't really know.
Oh, that's what she said.
Yeah, she's young. She's had a lot of success the past year and a half.
All right.
She had a show in New York that did really well, and she's just kind of taken off from there. And I saw a show of hers in London this year.
Oh.
She's an exciting artist. There's a lot of people that are looking at her work. It's weird, but definitely inspired by or driven by the form of furniture. I believe she went to RISD.
Yes, she did.
And I don't think she did the furniture. She started in the furniture department and then moved on to painting.
Exactly,
but she is full on a sculptor now. And she was one of the inspirations of the show, actually.
Oh, and yeah. You had seen her work at an exhibit first? Or?
Well, she had a show in New York that people told me to go see. Uh-huh. And I didn't make it, but I looked at images. And then I saw a show of hers in London. I guess it was last fall. And it was sold out. and really strong.
So do you get, I mean, you know, my notion of how this whole business works, it's based on
Enlighten me.
And such like that. Do people show up with like portfolios of slides?
No, don't do that. It's not a solicitation.
That's like you've seen the movies, you know?
Yeah, that does happen. Actually, the literal portfolio carriers came to the gallery that I worked at in Boston. And that was painful because it's just horrible to say no to somebody who's like dragged their work all the way into the gallery and made themselves vulnerable.
An old model, right? I mean, people.
That's an old model, but like the new version of that is just unsolicited emails sending me their work.
Because everybody has a website.
Everybody does, but you know, it's a compliment because they obviously are interested in what I'm doing. But I have to say, it's like in my 15 years in the business, 10 times out of 10, it's not a fit. And most of the time it's because the artist hasn't done research to understand and learn about my programming. I'll usually take a look just out of respect because they took the time to email me, but sometimes I'm just too busy and I can't. The best case scenario is if there's a couple of people in my life that know me professionally and my taste or my interests, and they recommend someone. But very rarely does it come directly from an artist and have it be a good fit. Yeah.
Do you do studio visits?
I do. I love studio visits. That's one of my favorite things to do. Mm. It's one of the reasons why I stopped my gallery in the city because that's a core of one of the reasons why I love doing what I'm doing is being close to the artists and their process. And I just didn't have time for it. So now I have much more time for studio visits and long studio visits. I used to be, you know, an hour max was all I could afford. And now it's usually about 2 hours. And it's really fun.
And you can make a lot of those visits here in the Hudson Valley? Or do you mostly still go to Brooklyn these days?
I go to Brooklyn a lot. But, you know, in the show, Francesca DiMatteo, for example, she's in Hillsdale. Nicole Cherubini's in Hudson. Mm-hmm. Let's see, who else? Sarah Brahman, she's in Western Mass. And these are all artists that have international careers, mm-hmm. but they're here. And they have big studio spaces, 2,000-4,000 feet, whether they've built them or they're renting them. And so if an artist lives locally and is showing in this exhibition, this is actually a pretty high caliber career show, which is unusual for me because normally I like to mix and have younger, lesser known artists and more established artists. But like I said, Jesse Reeves, who I think is the youngest artist in the show, has an established career as of the past year and a half. And Nancy Shaver, who might be the longest working artist in the show, you know, she's been successful. She is a local figure.
And you featured her a number
she
of times.
She is, and I have. She just keeps working her way in. Mm-hmm. I just really respect her a lot. And for some reason, the show concepts seem to, I don't know, she fits with a lot of them.
Is there a relationship with Bard in any sense, or is that just happens to be nearby and produces some artists who are worthy?
I wish I had more of a relationship with Bard. Amber Aceva, who used to work for me, went to Bard. And Grace Kayaza, who works for me now, is involved with Bard. But I feel that it's in and out of being kind of clued into what's happening there. Taylor Davis, who I show, is a teacher there. She's, I think, head of the sculpture graduate department. Yes, she is. And we get Bard people over faculty if it's an artist that they have that's on their radar, like Taylor. But yeah, it would be nice if there was a little bit more of a conversation. That would be on me, probably.
Yeah. So this show has something to do with chairs.
What?
Didn't your show have something to do
really?
With chairs?
Yes.
Scared me there for a second. You got me.
It's called Sit In.
Sit In.
Sit In. You know, I almost want to ask you to read this statement because it's so wonderful. It
sounds so much nicer
right
if you read it.
You think?
Yeah, you have a radio voice.
What?
oh, you do.
But
Ellen.
I'm just getting used to the microphone. I think you should read it.
Ellen, come on. Stop being modest. We know the real Ellen.
Okay, this exhibition is opening Saturday night. And it's going to be open from 6 to 8. And then later, I don't know what the schedule of the gallery is, so I'll let Kristen talk about that. You see, I'm already getting all choked up.
Oh.
No. But anyway, this is a collective look at the split behavior of a familiar form. In an interrogation room, two chairs face each other across a desk. At a birthday party, the guest of honor sits at the head of the table. In a museum, bench seating is placed at regular intervals in the center of a room. At a principal's office, the student is instructed to sit down. On a stage, a comedian stands beside an empty stool. At an auction, everyone sits, save the auctioneer. A seat is a frame and a proposition. A person sitting either subscribes to or rejects suggestion. Their body gives in to the framework or contradicts it, settles into an armrest or sits forward, lounges on a chaise or perches on edge. When the functionality of the form is prioritized, a chair is more or less self-evident. A seat with four legs and a back can have an uncomplicated purpose. A folding chair provides the utilitarian uses of being portable, stackable, and sittable. An execution chair is constructed to suit its intention, remain stable, unbreakable, and provide constraints. However, when aesthetics and composition reign, a new function is served. The grandeur and adornment of a throne proposes to reflect the power of the sitter. The elegance and recline of the eames proposes to embody a comfortable lifestyle. Here, the chair becomes a status symbol, the position of power or the privilege of leisure. For the exhibition sit-in, a cacophonous individuality arises. Vastly distinctive seats have been created, deconstructed, reconfigured, and repurposed, positioned in rows and facing a unified direction. A collective stance arises. Draped curtains provide the suggestion of a backdrop, a gesture of substantiation or revelation of artifice. Sit-in is a theater of subversion and a revision of what we know.
Thank you,
period.
Nice.
Isn't that great?
It
is. I love the way you read it.
So when you arrange a show like this, have you found people all dealing with chairs, or do you solicit some of these?
Yeah, so the concept has been kind of turning around for a while, and I knew a few artists that have worked with chairs, and I just did a bunch of research, and actually a lot of those artists who were already on my radar happen to have made a piece that involves a chair, a stool, a seat of some kind. And so it all just kind of naturally fell together. I would not be interested in asking an artist to artificially, you know, make a piece that involved a chair that wasn't already natural to their process. So that would not be interesting to me. But it was really fun to kind of tease out these pieces. And
yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, definition of a chair is one of the great philosophical conundrums, you know, when you're asked to define the word chair. And you really can't do it. You know, you can come up with functional definitions, but they don't work because not everything you sit on is a chair and blah, blah, blah.
What is that you're sitting on?
It's a chair.
His butt.
Butt. It's got, it doesn't have four legs, if that's how you're going to, does it? I can't even see down there.
No, it has one leg with five extensions.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's so variable.
Yeah.
But it also is a pretty male-dominated form, I think, in terms of, at least in art historically, the exploration of that. So, you know, we're not... This list of artists is, I think, an exciting one for that reason, too. There's a little bit of an elephant in the room that I just let out. But wait, there was something I wanted to say about the artists.
We speak of chairmen. I thought that'd be right.
Chairman.
Chairman.
I ended up, I think, not really often saying the word chair in the press release. Mm. Originally, it was all over, and then I took it out because I wanted it to be more seat. And I think I sort of came to your point of wanting to abstract it a bit.
The seat of power. The seat of whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Seat of the pants. The seat. I don't know. I'm just,
the positioning. Positioning. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all cool. I think it's great. I can't wait to see it.
And it's a unified form, although the pieces are so dramatically different from one another. We came up with a solution for the installation that I think works. It provides a neutral ground and a little bit of a platform that both kind of unifies all the pieces and also...
Well, not a platform to sit on.
No, for the chairs to stand on.
Oh, oh, I see.
And also for people to not sit on the chairs.
Yeah. Right.
There are some chairs that you can sit on that are not on the platforms, and hopefully that's obvious.
It's so funny because I thought of a number of chairs I've seen in art, and they're pretty much all male artists.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Our friend Bill Stone has made a lot of funny chairs
yeah.
in his time.
Yeah.
Funny and chairs?
Yeah, you know, he does little riffs
he
on
is
chairs.
Funny.
Most of his sculptures are
I'm
funny.
Already afraid to sit on any of the chairs in this exhibition. Who
well,
knows?
Well, importantly, too, with the show, it's not about design.
Right.
And it's so these are
show.
All
right, right,
artists.
Right.
These are all sculptors. Right. They're not designers. And so
Ellen gets very nervous about the chairs in the studio.
So therefore, they may not function.
No. I'm totally uncomfortable.
Right.
I have
right.
to lean
gonna,
over to get to the microphone.
Are you
going to
have a big sign that says, please do not sit on the chairs?
Oh, I haven't decided yet. Originally at the end, not originally, in like the fourth version of the press release, it said, please remain standing at the
yeah,
end.
That's a good idea.
So I might put a sign like that
that's
up
clever,
at the
yes.
gallery.
Yeah. That sounds good.
That might help.
Although you're going to have to tell if the little kids show up.
There are pieces that kids will love. They're big green like beanbag pieces that look like grass by Barbara Gallucci. They're fun. Yeah, so 18 artists.
And it opens?
This Saturday, 6 to 8.
This Saturday, 6 to 8, I can't remember the number you are in Warren Street.
And 449, and we're upstairs.
449, upstairs. If you think you're walking into the restaurant Abel, you're making a mistake. Go to the right, and it's a doorway right there, and you got to go upstairs, and there's the gallery.
Does it have the name of the gallery over the door?
Yes,
it does.
Does. My husband built that sign. It's a beautiful one. Gold letters. But hopefully, one of the artists has a piece coming from London via FedEx, and it hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, boy.
So,
better show up tomorrow.
Bow, bow, bow.
They do deliver Saturdays, don't they?
I think. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, better come tomorrow. Yeah, you're right. So, how are you guys feeling in these new digs?
I'm not liking it so much because I'm staring at a wall. I used to like having the window in front of us.
Right.
But it's nice. It's cleaner.
You reorient so you're looking out that way.
I know. I was thinking that, too. I might recommend that. But
or break
you know,
down a wall?
We're still in process, as they say.
Yeah, this is functional.
It's functional. We're getting the airwaves moving.
Yeah,
can you hear us?
Are you out there?
Is anybody?
Oh, no. You'll be surprised, Kristen. I know we look like a little, you know, shoestring operation.
People listen to this?
Ouch.
I'm just kidding.
They not only listen, we've had people calling in regularly lately. And it's
Should we take some callers?
Well,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would also be unlikely. But yeah, if anybody wants to call in and ask Kristen Dodge, the gallerist, what title do you prefer? Gallerist, curator, owner?
Kind of none of them.
All of them.
All of them and none of them, yeah.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Of September Gallery at 449?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. 449 Warren Street. Here in the magnificent, the splendid, the wonderful city of Hudson, New York. Okay, Ellen? Mm-hmm.
Can I put in a plug?
You always can put in plugs.
Incident report.
Oh,
so I'm organizing. Yeah, I'm organizing that now. Mm-hmm. And there's a great piece up. Tim Davis is the instructor at Bard, and it's his class that did a collaboration.
Did he have a piece in your gallery?
He did in the gallery in the city.
Oh, okay.
But not here. Yeah.
How long did you have your gallery in this city?
4 years.
Ellen, you remember Incident Report? That's Max mm-hmm. Goldfarb's.
Yeah.
Window.
And
Nancy
Shaver
and
I've seen it many
Strifella.
Times.
Are they all curated together?
They do. You know Max more because he does radio
right.
stuff, probably. But
I know Allison.
You know.
I've never met Nancy Shaver, but I know Allison.
Yeah.
I love her stuff. You know,
they're great.
The typewriter sort of art she
oh,
does.
Yeah. I showed her in the city, too.
Hmm. Incident Report, didn't you issue a book at the time?
Yes, they did.
They did, and we sold it and still have it for sale. It's the first 100 installments.
I have a copy, Ellen. And my wife, for some reason, went around and got everybody who was there to sign it who was in the show.
That's great.
Yeah, that's her thing.
That's that embarrassing thing that you would never do yourself.
I know.
You're happy somebody else has done it for you.
You're so right. You're so right. Because there was an event I was involved in 1981. Oh, my God. A writing event with a lot of writers there. And there's no way, because it was a poster announcing all the writers.
Right.
There's no way I was going to carry it around. She did it. I was
that's awesome.
It's really cool because they're all dead now, too. which is awesome in its own way, or sad. Never mind.
What does one do with an autograph? Do you have you ever sold any?
I might have.
Any
you just
autographs?
Admire them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just kind of look at them and say, you know, I met that person.
I actually found a book at my parents' house that was mine, is mine, by Zadie Smith. It was her first book, White Teeth.
Ooh.
And she signed it.
Cool.
And wrote to me that she wanted to have dinner. And I found it. I'm like, what kind of conversation did we have? But I posted it on Instagram and got all these incredible responses. So that's what you do when you have.
The question is, did she respond and say, hey,
no,
the offer's still out there?
She's so smart. I love her.
I know.
I also have a book signed by John Updike. I can't get through his books.
Yeah, they're kind of.
Anyway.
A lot of good writing in the service of very little content. I'm not a big Updike fan. Some of the early stuff I like.
Unlike the show, a lot of good writing with very little content.
There you go.
That
segue back to our topic. Our topic is Sit In, a show curated by Kristen Dodge at her gallery, the September Gallery, at 449 Warren Street. What was the inspiration for the title of your gallery?
September?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my birthday month.
That's it?
Come out. That's it. That's,
that's it.
Now.
So it's just a tribute to yourself?
It's basically about me. No. It's a time of change in this season, yes. And creativity is necessarily about change. Otherwise, it's not. You're not creating. It's not new.
Yeah.
And an artist's process should be in a state of change, yeah. As should a gallery program.
Mm-hmm. We used to think of this month as a time of change, but it doesn't seem to be happening.
It's just never changing.
It's like cold.
I know.
What's wrong? Ellen, explain it to us, please.
I would like to.
Oh, is this the weather section of the radio?
The weather section. I'm glad you brought that up. Because
you are, really?
Spring is coming, and I have ample proof of that because of the last couple of days at my house here in Hudson, New York.
And what is that proof, Ellen Thurston?
The proof
co-host
is
of the Thursday
that
afternoon
there's
show?
Been a red fox coming around the house from time to time. This yesterday, the red fox was walking back and forth in the backyard of my house. And
is it big?
Big as a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a good-sized dog. And sort of reddish, not really red as probably portrayed in many paintings. Mm. It's sort of brownish red.
Mm.
And certain black outlines on the ears and stuff. Anyway, this was a female fox who was out to feed her. I don't know what you call them, kittens?
Cubs? I don't know.
Cubs, yeah. Cubs. And I now know where she lives because she kept going back to the nest and going into
it. And what did I tell you yesterday?
I don't know.
Don't you remember?
Get me a fox?
No, I said smoke them out with a little smoke bomb in there and be ready with the shotgun.
Please. It's spring. You're supposed to be
just
nice.
Just a joke. Just a joke. Oh,
well,
Ellen. You know I love animals. You know I'd be there, right?
Right, right. So, yeah, your cat especially.
Oh, let's not bring her into it, please. She's exceptional. She's so smart and so mean. She attacks all the guests. She fakes out all our guests because she comes up and is like real smoochy and
then
friendly.
She swipes them.
No,
yeah.
She bites them.
Cats are crazy.
Cats are crazy.
She takes a bite. Anyway.
We have four.
So, to go back to the fox, she went across the lawn, and she came back with something black in her mouth, which I think was a kitten, either a kitten or a cat, or it could have been a squirrel. It's hard to see.
There are black squirrels and albinos.
I've only seen one black squirrel around there, but anyway.
Someone's got to eat.
So she took it back to the babies. The babies were adorable.
They came out.
They're gray.
Tom would say.
And they're like fur balls, you know, about as big as a basketball. They were so cute. So I spent a lot of time watching the mother and the baby.
How much time exactly? I think you told me a whole day yesterday.
Well, in and out.
I would spend a
whole
day doing that if
I
could.
I mean, it was like watching a television, nature program.
In your backyard.
In my backyard. And then.
National Geographic.
This morning.
Yes.
A rather large woodchuck came running across my property. So I take that as all of that is a sign of spring.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I believe you.
And I saw our police chief, Ed Moore, on the street today. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the weather.
Is he a sign of the spring? He came out?
I'll tell him.
I haven't seen him all winter, actually.
No, I saw him sitting in front of the coffee shop. It's like, yo, nice life.
He said he predicts that spring will be here and it's going to be very, very hot. Mm. And I think he's right, kind of. And we're not going to have a spring, probably.
And he's the amateur, Hudson Almanac.
I was going to say, is he an amateur meteorologist?
I didn't ask.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
But
a hot summer.
Yeah, a hot summer.
Cruel summer.
I think that may be.
I believe that's a song.
I know.
Yeah.
Cruel summer.
Yeah. Summer.
Ellen loves when I sing. I never know anything but like one half of a lyric.
But how is the show just not a bunch of tangents? It's so easy.
I know, right?
It's so easy.
Well, I mean, when you know you have a
talent like Ellen.
A whole 2 hours to fill.
To fill.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Tom won't let me sing. And people have called it caterwauling.
First of all, only one person called it caterwauling. And secondly, I always encourage you to sing, so that's an outright lie, and I'm shocked and dismayed that you said that, Ellen Thurston.
He just walked out.
Good, now we can really
Tom
talk.
So who's next?
Okay. You're it.
I'm it.
You're it.
Oh, hey, where is a clock here?
What's your next show going to be about?
Oh, yeah, where's
the
computer?
Next show?
I knew there was something missing. Oh, there
is also a really strong show with artists who are pretty established. It's a 3-person show with Nicole Cherubini, Victoria Fu, and Carrie Moyer. Victoria Fu is LA based. She does video and new media photography. She's brilliant. Nicole Cherubini is local, but again, doesn't have a local career. And she's a sculptor. And Carrie Moyer is a painter, and she was in the Whitney Biennial last year. Mm. She has been working hard and just persistently for years. She's not a younger artist. She's not a new artist, but she is being newly respected and recognized. And she has 2 shows up right now, one in Chelsea, one uptown. And I believe they're both sold out. So I'm very lucky to have her in
a show.
So that
means she sold all the works in them.
Well, she didn't sell them. The galleries did,
yes. Of course.
That's me trying to take credit as a gallery and the work that we
right,
do.
The work that you do.
It doesn't just sell itself, but she's just she's hit kind of a new moment in her career.
Wow. That's nice.
So that's very cool. Yeah. And I think, you know, some people are asking, like, how are you getting these artists to Hudson? Mm-hmm. Why would they have any interest in showing in a gallery in Hudson?
Upstairs. Up from a restaurant.
Upstairs. My God, you can't even find it. But it's because, hopefully, I think, because, I mean, I certainly have a track record of having shown a lot of artists in the 15 years I've been in the business. But I'm trying to put artists together so that there's a context. They are the context for each other. So, like this next show, they all, in some ways, complement and substantiate the other. So they are the support. And
okay. Off the top of my head, question. $20 million for that Jeffrey Koons Play-Doh? Have you seen that, Ellen?
I hate Jeff Koons.
I know everybody does. It's not even made of Play-Doh. How do you like that?
Fake.
It's like aluminum underneath there and then painted to look like a blob of different colored Play-Doh. And the
artifice.
I know, right? Jeez.
The art world.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other subject. And
it's a different level.
Yeah, right. It's right.
You're dealing with different people, different amounts of money.
Right, and it's all about investments.
Different levels of ego and different intentions for the work by the artists and for the collectors.
Right.
And it just changes everything. And in fact, I have an artist who I believe is going to take off into the stratosphere, and I'm not at all interested in following her. I want to stay right where I am. I love the gallery space that I have. I love my life here.
Is
I
this
love
a hot tip for
Hudson.
Us investors?
Yeah, right. Hot tip. It's just, so, because once you get to the next level, it's a different kind of a game that is very unappealing
to me. Just reading about those kind of people who've done that, you know, Mary Boone, Leo Castelli, all those guys, they're all shysters. of one sort or another.
Yeah, it's all aggressive.
Wait
it's
a minute.
Aggressive.
You're in the basement of a church.
Mark. Oh, my gosh. Should I cross myself?
Yes.
My God.
He's up there. No, he's not. This is a Presbyterian
yeah,
church.
Do you have a set of new rules now that you're in the church?
No, we were talking about that before you came in. If yeah. we have to be very
if
careful.
If she's going to swear or be know, worried right? about. I did say butt.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was yeah. not crossing the line.
Well, out there where they keep their stuff, I found a crown of thorns. But I figured it wasn't meant for a costume thing because it really hurt. But I guess
you actually put it on.
Yeah. Well, I suffer.
Were you by yourself?
I suffer. No,
when you
Ellen
put it on.
It.
Oh, Ellen. Yeah. Ellen's a witness.
Yeah. yeah. It hurt.
Would have been weird if you were by yourself.
I think it's for a statue.
I think it was.
I don't think it's for guests.
No.
It's definitely not for your guests.
Really hurt.
But we won't make you wear. It's bad enough
that's
without
a good
making
idea.
You wear.
We'll bring it in here. Just
crown of thorns.
Subject your
guests. Yeah.
Guests.
Will well, you
speaking
wear the
of
crown
Jesus,
of thorns? Yes.
One of the pieces in the show by Sarah Greenberger Rafferty, I've hung at the height of a Jesus figure that you would find in a church. That was my thinking. You'll see. It's
okay.
a figure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a popular show, I think.
Well,
I think so.
And I
after
think
this,
there's going to be a
this,
big crowd on
after
Saturday.
This, how could
everything.
It not be? I promised Jesse Reeves I'd be there, so I got to attend.
Uh-huh.
What am I going to do? I can't.
Can't get out of it.
As much as I try. No, I wasn't kidding. Sorry. You know I
you
come to your
show. You could
roll
your bed into here. People probably. Does your voice change if you're horizontal?
It probably does.
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, Alan would know the difference, but.
Yeah. You know, we have our late night conversations. I'm often lying in bed. Let's not don't
yeah that was
don't wonder about
the line.
That. but we do. We have
we
quite
do.
A phone relationship.
That's nice. Do you yeah. like talking on the phone?
Only to Ellen.
I can't stand talking.
I doubt that. I doubt.
Who else do you think I talk to?
You have a lot of friends.
My wife
hard
hates
say.
The phone. Mm-hmm. She hangs up on me mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
So you're the only one. Aww. Really, it's all about you, Ellen.
No, it's all about the phone.
But no, my other friends like. People you met at the, well, you already knew them, at Easter dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They're all texters. They all like to text.
Oh.
There is a place for that.
There's a place for us.
There's a place for us.
Yes. Yeah, the kids like to text.
Mm-hmm.
We oldsters prefer that.
The voice.
The voice. And Ellen and I just.
It actually
you know.
Is probably more efficient to call than it is to text. Because there's room for misunderstanding.
Oh, tell me about it. Boy, have I screwed up in text.
Information left yeah. out, yeah, and misinterpreted.
And there's evidence voice. Left behind.
I know, that frightens the hell out of me.
Unless somebody's recording
bah, bah,
your...
Bah, bah, bah. Wait, I can't see with my glasses.
We're pulling out the sound machine.
That was not Tom speaking.
Who thought it was me?
That was not,
we all thought it was you. Ellen.
That was not Tom's chair.
That was not my chair. Anyway.
Oh dear.
So, all this levity aside, I'm definitely coming. This is we're talking to Kristen Dodge, who is the proprietor,
whatever she is,
at September Galley, 449 Warren Street.
Yes,
her show Sit In begins at 6 o'clock
That's
this
right.
Saturday. What date is Saturday, Ellen? You're big on that kind of thing. Let me see. Where's my calendar?
April 7th.
April 7th. And we've been talking to Kristen Dodge, as I said, and April 7th.
And the exhibition
o'clock.
Will be up through May 20th.
May 20th.
So there'll be ample time to get to see the show if you don't make
you don't
it Saturday
have to
night.
Answer this question, Kristen, but have you actually sold much from your gallery here?
Not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've sold enough to sustain, and most of the sales that I've done are with prior clients that mm-hmm. I have, or through the art fair participation. So, like,
oh,
I went to L.A.
I heard
for ALAC and New
my
York for
my BFF
Nada.
Annie Bilski did really well.
Bilski, she did. She's awesome.
She was so proud when I ran into her.
She should be. The booth looked amazing. It was really, really
yeah.
strong.
I know, and she's a wee lass.
She's a wee lass. She's so talented.
Yes, she is.
Another person I wouldn't have met had I not moved up to
yeah.
Hudson. And, you know, so have I sold a lot? I mean, God, I don't have to sell a lot in order to make things work.
Oh, you're independently wealthy.
No.
Sorry.
That's it. But if you sell a piece, I mean, my rent is very reasonable. Mm-hmm. My rent in the city was not.
Yeah.
And now is probably double what it was.
Yeah.
Same space. So I can make things work. And plus it's me, and I have right now one person one day a week for help. So that's one way that I save money. But
Grace?
Yeah, Grace.
Love her too. BFF.
She's dynamite.
Ellen knows I have a lot of BFFs.
BFFs. You hear that, Grace?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
She'll admit it. She'll admit it.
So, okay. I've sold some big pieces.
Oh, cool.
And some small pieces. But recently, I'd say I'm starting to sell more to local people who have local homes or who live permanently here. That takes more time.
Yeah.
Relationship building. But a lot of it's been through the fairs and through my prior relationships. Because I ran a gallery in Boston for 7 years before moving to New York to open my space there. So we are now equidistant from Boston and New York City. And there are people that come from both places to Hudson. A lot. Especially in the summertime, which is the peak season here in terms of foot traffic.
Right.
And the off season in the art world at large. So it's kind of a nice flip-flop.
So the whole sort of presentations at galleries have a season in the city? Like what time?
Oh, definitely. This summer, usually people take off a month, August.
Right. Of course.
And because everyone's traveling or relaxing or with families in the summer, at least the art world tends to have more money and that kind of opportunity for leisure. So the summers are slower in the art world.
And the voice you're listening to is, once again, Kristen Dodge of September Gallery, 449 Warren Street, opening their show, her show, Sit In, this Saturday, April 7th at 6 p.m. Drinks? Snacks?
Yes.
Not that it matters.
To one of the above.
Kristen, do you get reviewed by, are reviewers prowling around Hudson looking at various things?
Okay, we've had a lot of press, but most of it has been about the gallery and not necessarily reviews of shows. And we did a show last year called Witches and got a review from Modern Painters for that, which I was really happy about. When I was in the city, we had so much press coverage, at least two reviews a show. So that's been a real adjustment. I believe there are writers out there and that we could potentially get more exposure that way. I would like to. I think it's an important way for a show to have longevity.
There is a local art critic who lives there. I mean, prominent art critic who lives there. Carter Radcliffe, you know that name?
I'm not sure that we've met.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things.
There are people around. Yeah. It's just not as easy. And and often when, if there are writers that come here from the city, it's because they're on vacation.
Yeah.
You know? So, but we have had some good exposure. I just would like to have more sort of critical thinking about the shows that we're doing.
Well, Ellen, take up art criticism. Why not? John Ashbery did. Made a good run.
I wish that.
Well, I don't think I want to do that. No.
Okay, well, on that note, I say,
you know what, I'm here. Where is the clock that used to always be
running? I got eye on the time, and we're going to have to wrap it up soon.
It was never right, but...
Yeah, but at least it gave us a sense of things.
A general sense of time being measured.
Right.
It's about sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I see on the computer it's 4:52, so we don't have to do the news yet. But
what is the news?
What's in the news? Or
Weather?
You know, stuff. I didn't listen to it. Let's see if Ilana did an update.
Oh, you don't talk about the news.
Oh, good Lord, no.
This is going to be merely an update to the...
Nixon criticizes Cuomo in Hoosick Falls. Every time I see those headlines, I think Richard Nixon's back. Oh, my God. But it's actually Cynthia Nixon who's challenging...
She has a lot to overcome.
Yes, quite a bit.
With a name
just
like that.
Just with that name.
Yeah.
I think I've had some advantages with my last name being Dodge.
They think you're the heir to the fortune?
Yeah. Some people do, which is funny. But because it's a word that's already in our culture, it's easy to remember.
Ah, yeah. I know another Dodge locally. Catherine Dodge.
Yeah, people ask me around here when I first moved up here if I'm related to so-and-so Dodge.
Catherine, probably.
There's several, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't know. But I doubt it.
Dodges. All the Dodges.
Well, Catherine Doyle, actually, is her name now. But her maiden, or her whatever, was Dodge.
She went from Dodge to Doyle.
And what else? I guess that's it. You're done.
I'm it. That's it. Thank you
one more
for
time.
Having me.
Kristen Dodge, of September Gallery. The new show, Sit-In, opens this Saturday, April 7th at 6 p.m. And Ellen and I will be there handing out, signing photos of ourselves. Which one you got?
The clapper.
The clapper? Oh.
Oh, the scream. Do the scream.
Okay. Oh, the scream. Where the heck is the scream?
Bottom right.
Oh, thank you.
She knows where that is.
Oh, no, that's not it. Right. No. No.
Well, let's see. Scream. Where is
There's
it?
There's one that sounds just...
That?
Yeah.
There we go.
That's good.
Thank you. Is that our scream or your scream?
I don't know.
We all scream.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming in.